We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Tapper back to the mound. Jimmy feeds it. Got to hurry. It's dropped. Pirates win. 5-4 final score. Wow.
Truth is, we had the lead. We had the lead, and our relievers that have been doing a great job. We had one inning. You know, Marsh is so solid, wasn't able to get out of there. East, we still had a chance in the end. You know, we load the bases, get a little nubbler, try to make the plate, and we drop the ball. And that's just baseball. I think all in all, we gave ourselves a chance to win a ball game. Would you say that we might have taken away our chance to score a few more runs because of some of the outs? It's possible. It's possible, nothing guaranteed, but we were in a position to win a ball game tonight.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the score. That's Rick Renteria. We are delighted to welcome in Steve Stone. He joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Hotline. And I got to tell you, you know, Steve, when I watch you call a game, I learn something every day. I got to tell you, your eye for detail. When you called, hey, like, look, Tim Anderson is a step longer than usual, and bam, he's picked off. I laughed out loud. You just have a gift beyond the gift, and it's a joy to talk to you. How are you this morning?
Morning, Steve.
I'm doing good, Mully. Yeah. Hi, David. Last night was one of those games that we talk about a lot with this team, a team that is just flawed enough to be really interesting. There are certain games that you believe they should win rather easily. They don't. There are certain games that you believe they're actually going to be blown out of and they wind up winning. So it's one of those years that's wildly entertaining and at times very frustrating. Last night fell into the latter category. It was very frustrating. It's a game that you should have had but didn't. And there was a number of things that maybe when they do the autopsy in the game, when they take a look at what happened, why it went wrong, how things can change going forward, I think we'll see maybe a few different things coming down the line. But, you know, look, this is a flat-out sprint. We're at the final stages. This year, it's kind of a different season in that you like to win your division. However, it doesn't really give you that much of an advantage. Because, number one, you don't play in front of any fans. Number two, nobody knows if it's going to be a complete bubble from start to finish or if the teams are going to be able to play in their home park. But with no fans, the home field advantage this year is probably less than it's been maybe ever in the game. So just getting in the playoffs is the key, and keeping Dallas Keuchel will be even more of a key.
Steve, I think you said the other day, you made this comment about the White Sox and that they were a good team, but maybe not a great team yet. Do you think that that's going to be true this entire season? Is this just too early for greatness to have arrived? Because when you look at the record, certainly it's a great record, but it still maybe is just a very good team. Is that how wide is that gap between being a very good team and a great one?
Well, I think certainly the team would have been a whole lot better, but an inordinate amount of injuries this year, especially to pitchers. You can't afford to have 60% of your starting rotation go down, trying to fill in here and there only to see guys get hurt again. The Carlos Rodon injuries, and they've been multiple, have been costly. The setback of Ronaldo Lopez was costly. Losing Aaron Bummer was very costly, but every team has to play through that. This is a good team. There's no doubt about it. I mean, this lineup just wears down opposing pitchers. And if you come to the mound against them and you don't have really good stuff, you're going to give up a lot of runs. But there are various failures on this team that probably will be corrected. I mean, it took a quantum leap from last year to this year defensively. So the defense is much better, yet every now and then it falls back into that situation where, you know, you say to yourself, geez, how could they not make that play? That happens every now and then. It doesn't happen near as much this year as it did last year. So I think this team is considerably better than last year. I don't think it's going to be near as good this year as it will be next year. So I think there's some building to be done. I think they have to address a few different issues and maybe use some of the things you have at hand. Like I always love late in the ball game to go to a defensive lineup. And now with Dyson on the team and Engel on the team, you got two guys to put on the corners along with Robert in center field. I think if you employ that a bit more, what happens is you catch everything if it stays in the ballpark. I think that's a big advantage late when you're trying to not necessarily add on, although you'd like to add on, but, you know, once you get to the eighth inning or so, you want to defend. You want to make sure that that other team is given nothing. They have to consistently get hits to score, and I think maybe we'll see a little bit more of that going down the stretch.
It's Mully and Haw, and this segment with Steve Stone is brought to you by Bet Rivers Sportsbook. And Steve, Dane Dunning back on the bump tonight, obviously. It's close to, what was he, 4 2/3 his last time out. He could have won a game on Sunday.
Yep.
And I know this is so stupid. I can't believe I'm going to mention this, but this is his first interleague action. It's his first interleague action. I know it doesn't matter and everybody has the same rules, but this is just a different situation for Dane Dunning. Do we look at it any differently? Do we want, obviously, the same things we've seen and improvement and the strikeouts and all the rest of it?
You know, I think it's really great when an interviewer asks and answers his own question. No, it's not different whatsoever. It's another major league game. He goes out, he tries to get hitters out. We're going to still play the requisite amount of innings, and these guys still bring bats to the plate. You know, look, this is a team that you should beat. Unfortunately, last night they let Pittsburgh get off the hook, and for the first time in a long time, certainly this year, they've won back-to-back walk-off games. First time this year with the ball game last night. But, you know, for Dane, look, it's just a question of him getting back that arm strength you need to carry yourself through a championship season. He really isn't going to get it this year. I mean, he's just coming back from Tommy John. He was on the shelf a long time. He's done really well with what he's got to this point. I think if he gets through five, and I think that he probably will, I think we'll see them watch him pretty closely, but I think he's a middle of the rotation starter. I think the stuff is pretty good. Quite obviously, with an unusual year, he doesn't have the kind of arm strength you'll need to carry a lot of games deep, and you're going to have a couple where he throws really well, and then maybe the arm doesn't respond quite as well. He might not even know it, but that strength that you need to snap off breaking balls and have pinpoint control isn't quite there. So I think last time out, what we saw with Dunning, who does have pinpoint control, we saw a guy that was battling with his control. And understand that wild in the strike zone is sometimes more devastating than just plain wild, because he depends on having that pinpoint control. He depends a lot, although he throws harder. He reminds me a little bit of Kyle Hendricks from the Cubs, in that Kyle very rarely uses the middle of the plate. He'll work the corners, and he'll change eye levels, and he'll work up and down, in and out, and he does it masterfully. He's a very effective pitcher. I think Dane Dunning can be that same kind of guy with maybe 5 miles an hour more velocity, because I think when he gets strong, I think he's going to throw 94. I think he's going to do that consistently. Not that he needs to do that, but he's got it if he does need it. And I like everything about him. I like his pitching acumen. I like his disposition. I think that the Sox got themselves a good one in that Adam Eaton trade. And I think it's just a matter of time till he takes his rightful place consistently in the rotation.
Steve, Ozzy laughed at me, or laughed at this question, and you're free to do the same. But I still kind of wonder, What is the deal with Jimmy Cordero and how often he has been used? I think he's got 21 appearances, and that I don't know if he gets paid by the appearance or whatever, but seems to be a guy who is risking to be overuse. What do you think? What is the deal?
I can't really tell you because I'm not making the choice. It's manager's choice who he uses. You know, look, the bullpen hasn't been the same since Aaron Bummer went down. Because there was a certain comfort level. You had a really good idea exactly what you were going to do when the winning part of your bullpen gets in the game. And every manager has a comfort level when the winning part of his bullpen comes in the game. I'll take you back to 1990 and Lou Piniella with the Nasty Boys in Cincinnati. He got through six innings, and the Nasty Boys, it was Dibble, it was Randy Myers, it was Norm Charlton. He would use them sequentially, but they were coming in 1, 2, 3, and then you phoned the rest of the game and you went home. Ned Yost had the same thing in Kansas City when he got through six. His bullpen was Herrera, it was Holland, and it was Wade Davis, and pretty much that was it. See you later, nice talking to you. That gives a manager a sense of comfort. But if anything disrupts that, and Aaron Bummer was a huge part of that lockdown pen, when that happens, then you have to mix and match. And it becomes a very difficult scenario for most managers. You have to try to get the guys you'll use in winning situations, the guys who will use when you're behind, the guys who will use when you're close, the guys who will use when there's a blowout, and then you differentiate between those guys. And Ricky's had to mix and match in situations where he wouldn't have done it before. So, you know, look, he's trying to do the best he can with what he's got. He had a sense of comfort last year with Cordero. Last year, Jimmy Cordero was outstanding. The fastball was up to 98, 99 on occasion. The changeup was good. The slider was good. This year, not so good. So you have a tendency to remember what he was instead of what he is now. Lean on him a little bit more than you might. I think it was a culmination of him pitching six of seven games, giving up runs in his last four appearances. Right now, he is just not getting the job done. He's got the arm to do it. Maybe the control is not there, whatever the case. But, you know, look, a manager goes with what he feels in his gut, what he looks at when he looks at the paper. And at least for the foreseeable future, Jimmy's going to be the guy. And if he comes out, hopefully he gets some people out. This has been a really tough stretch for him and a tough stretch overall for the bullpen.
And, you know, it's interesting, Steve. Obviously, everyone's holding their breath on Dallas Keuchel, and that's going to be a huge part of this thing. But with the off day tomorrow before the Detroit series and then getting to the Twins, there is going to be the need for a fifth starter coming up. And we talked to Ozzie about it, and he said, you know, we know, you know, Carlos Rodon has been set back now, and he's got a back and everything else going on. And I asked him if Gio could get that start and, you know, how you use him. How is it a bullpen game? And he said he'd bring up Ronaldo Lopez. And I gotta be honest with you, that not only surprised me, it kind of sent a shiver through my spine. I don't know what you do with Ronaldo down in Schaumburg or up in Schaumburg, wherever it is, that makes you feel confident that he can be better than he's been.
Well, sometimes desperate times dictate desperate measures. I'm not sure if this measure would be that desperate. He really hasn't shown at this point that he's going to get a whole lot of people out. So I would prefer, if I had the choice, I would prefer Gio Gonzalez, a veteran who is the stuff great any longer. No, it isn't. But you have a pretty good idea that he's going to be around the plate with most everything. And then if that doesn't work in his start, you can make it a bullpen game and hope your offense picks you up. I mean, that's for me. Everybody has a different philosophy. We don't know what Ricky and Don Cooper are going to decide on for that one, but they've got a few different options. You can make it a straight bullpen game. I prefer Gonzalez starting. So, you know, again, who knows? We don't have any inside information on what's going on, but everybody has a different philosophy. We have seen at times Ronaldo have very good stuff, and it happens to be going in the places where he's throwing it. More times than not, it goes in places that are right into the sweet spot of the bat. that's not a good attribute to have. So maybe you take him and you work on something during the wintertime that turns everything around for him. But right now, he's just not getting the sharpness of the pitches that he really has to get. He has not been effective. I'm not sure you can afford another disaster with him. So I would just as soon have him watch. But again, I'm not making the call. I don't know. Ozzy, who has managed in this league and done so very successfully, he said he would give him another shot. We'll see what happens. Nobody at this point really knows the answer to that.
Steve, thanks a ton. Great talking to you as always. A real blessing. Bless you.
Thanks, Steve.
Okay, boys, have a good rest of the show, and let's go out and win one tonight and stay in first place. That has a nice ring to it.
Oh,
look
boy.
Forward to
it's
it.
It's been glorious. Yep. That's Steve Stone. Always a joy to talk to Stoney. We've got Tommy Hotovy coming up next. We'll talk to the Cubs pitching coach, Mullion Hall, on the score.
Pitching coach Tommy Hotovy of the Cubs wearing the blue pullover.
Tommy Hotovy, pitching coach for the Chicago Cubs.
You're transitioning from being a player to kind of getting into baseball. You take an online class, was it, at Boston U? Sabermetrics 101?
Yeah. Good I was answer. A finance major in college, and I had an economics minor. A lot of it was, too, I'm going to refresh all my econ knowledge, and I'm going to do it in a baseball course. It's like one of the best things ever.
There's just a lot of trust there with Tommy. We know he's such a hard worker. He puts in all the hours and really, really knows what he's talking about when it comes to pitching.
Tommy Hotovy, breaking down the starting rotation and bullpen on the north side with Mullion Hall.
I'm here for one reason. I want to help these guys get better, and we want to win baseball games.
Tommy Hotovy on 670 The Score. Score.
Tommy. Mullion Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Always a joy to talk to Tommy Hotovy. He joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Hotline. Tommy, good morning. How are you?
Morning, Tommy.
I'm doing great, guys. How are you doing this morning?
Oh, we're doing magnificent. And, you know, our work conditions aren't anything like the poor pitchers at Wrigley Field. One day the wind's blowing out 20 miles an hour. Then you got the absolute opposite the next night. How do you deal with that? How do you handle that when it's such a huge influence on the game? What do you tell your guys?
You know, it really is amazing. Sitting there and going through a game plan before the game, you have all these plans of kind of what you want to do, and then something as easy as the way the wind's blowing could completely flip that game plan upside down. And the wind's howling out and you're looking solely for weak contact and you're really looking for where you can keep the ball on the ground. And then you'll have games like last night where you're almost encouraging them to hit the ball in the air. And you know, having Alec, you know, pitch last night and come out and attack the strike zone and really use a little bit of everything, but again, encourage them here, you know, at times go hit it, you know, let's see how far you can hit it. And let's let Wrigley play to our advantage last night.
You know, Alec Mills, last night you mentioned him, and Tommy, he mixed up a lot of pitches. He changed speeds well. I think he was throwing 66-mile-per-hour curveballs and then moving people off the plate with a fastball at 92. What's the difference with him when he's pitching with that kind of command? Is it mental? Is it mechanical? Because he has been a young pitcher who has been prone to some inconsistency, but when he is good, he can be very good.
Yeah, he has the ability to do a lot of different things. You know, he's got some really good command, especially in fastball, and got some unique off-speed pitches. I mean, the changeup's really good, and he's got the two distinct breaking balls, and just has this innate ability to be able to change speeds really, really well, especially with the slow curve and then that fastball behind it. You know, one thing for Alec, we're always talking about his direction and kind of how he drives to the plate. He's got such a unique front, you know, kind of landing leg where it is really closed off. And if his direction's not perfect, he's going to have days where he's going to be fighting himself. And so it's one thing he worked really hard in between these last couple starts of trying to get his direction back, be really, you know, fluid in his delivery. And even at the end of the game last night, he said, you know, he was up to 100 pitches, and he's like, I didn't feel like I threw 100 compared to what I've been doing the other games, because he felt fluid. He felt his direction was right and wasn't fighting himself. So, you know, that's what we try to do when we clean up those kind of things, is just give them the freedom to execute the pitches you want. When you're good mechanically, then the mental side is able to take over and freeze him up to do what he wants to do in a game.
Tommy, you know, we all know the back of the baseball card and how great John Lester has been throughout his career, and he's struggling at this point. And I think it's almost worse when you see him on Zoom afterward and he talks about it. He just seems so down, and we know the level of expectation he holds himself to, and the way that that he wants that to happen for him. We've talked about whether it would make sense for him to skip a start in the rotation. It's hard to say stuff like that given all the injuries. Where is John Lester at, and what are you trying to do with him?
Well, you know, John, like anybody, you know, in these seasons especially, is battling, you know, some mechanic things and some things that he wants to try to accomplish. And so, you know, just similar to what I just explained with Mills, you know, we're kind of going back to square one with him, and let's kind of rewind. Let's get back to some of the basics of things we want to do physically. But again, you know, I think a lot of times we get too caught up in how we're feeling all the time and what we're, you know, how our body's moving. And sometimes you just got to go out and just, number one thing, let's focus on execution. All right. We know one day I might not have quite the same movement on my cutter. I might not have quite the same, you know, fastball command, but you know, we got to really lock down what we're trying to accomplish. And I think sometimes we, like John, will get into those games and we'll keep trying to do what he wants to do, even though we maybe don't have it that day. And, you know, we have to be able to adjust and go to plan B, you know, knowing that, you know, it may not be there from the get go. But what one thing with John is the work that he puts in and what he's focused on in between outings is right. And what we're trying to accomplish, we know, you know, in this game, we're going to have bad stretches. And we knew at some point in this season, we're going to go through a stretch where things were going to be a little bit difficult. We're right at that 6-week, 7-week mark from the beginning of the season that we usually see that end of May, early June kind of lull, especially with pitching arms. It's just you get fatigued, you get you see injury spikes and things like that. So not only are you, you know, you're frustrated with results, but your body is not feeling the greatest, you know, so we're battling through that as well. You know, we have a lot of confidence in John. He's a guy that is going to continue to go out and compete, you know that. And again, getting him on a roll is as important as anything we have going on right now, just because we know how good John Lester is in the postseason and what he can do in a huge game. So, yeah, really great to keep him yesterday in the pen and really looking forward to his next outing.
Tommy, I said earlier in the show that I don't know where the Cubs would be without Jeremy Jeffress, and I think the way that he has come out of the bullpen for you consistently, this is a guy signed in February for minimal cost, and he has been of maximum importance to everything you've done. He's kind of an unusual reliever in that he has like four pitches, but he certainly thrives in the big moment. What about his process? What about dealing with him has stood out to you in your experience?
I think seeing the process and you see what he goes through every day, what he focuses on, his routine. You know, we're fortunate to have, you know, an all-star closer in Craig Kimbrel that's been out there and been in those moments, and guys like Jeremy Jeffers that have pitched enormous games. But having them and having them around some of the younger players, what they do better than anyone is their routine leading up to games, their routine during the game, all the things they focus on and talk about and do the right way. And it's just nice to have those kind of examples out there of how to do things, why you focus on what you do. And Jeremy is no exception. He's a guy I was fortunate enough to play with actually back when he was a prospect. And that's one thing I always remembered about him is he wasn't afraid. He was never afraid to take the ball in any moment, but he could pitch. He could had more than just one weapon. A lot of people see how good his sinker can be, but he had a really good curveball I always loved, and he had a split that would come and go. And so that was one thing we really wanted to make sure when he came here was that we could continue to work on and utilize these other pitches. And you see even last night, he threw some really good split finger fastballs. He threw some good curveballs early in the strike zone. All that does is lengthen what you can do and lengthen your outings and get fewer looks to, you know, the hitters and all your pitches.
Tommy, obviously we're waiting on Jose Quintana again and Tyler Chatwood. Is there anything going on with those guys? What are they, where are they at? What are they working on? When do you think they'll be back?
Yep. Both of those guys started playing catch a few days ago. So we're obviously taking it day to day with them right now. It's going to be a slow process at first because we got to check a lot of boxes off, you know, these first probably 5 or 6 days and make sure that we're extending their throwing programs the right way. We're giving them ample rest in between, not asking them to do too much early. We also know the timetable we're up against right now, too, and I think they understand that there's going to be probably some more aggressiveness in us and in our approach trying to get them back. But again, it really, especially for this first week, is going to be a day-to-day process. And once we get, you know, a couple good days under our belt, especially when we get some long toss days in, then we'll be able to get a better indication of a timetable for both those guys.
You know, Tommy, I was a little surprised, but I think that Alzolay was going to be starting on Thursday. But then you look at your potential options, and maybe nobody should have been surprised because you have to use the guys who are healthy and who are available. What happened on Saturday? Was it just a matter of youth kind of reminding us that he's inexperienced, as David Ross suggested? Was it lack of command? Or what happened, and what are your expectations for Thursday's start?
You know, on Saturday, I think we saw just an example, like you said, of just, you know, him maybe being a little bit amped up for that game, a little bit even more so than the one before. I think a lot of times, you know, you can get in your own way and start thinking about the wrong things. You go out there and just go execute and compete, and you're not thinking about too much, and you're just having fun. You know, good things can happen. And then I think it was an outing on Saturday where maybe he was trying to do a little too much, thinking you got to do more, you know, because you just faced that team and they saw you in a similar, you know, kind of situation. So, you know, I think with Abbert, the key for him is just going to be how well he can command his off-speed stuff. His fastball, the way it's playing right now, especially with the addition of that two-seam, I think he's got a lot more room to attack it in the strike zone than let it kind of play. But how he can command his breaking balls and how he can command the changeup is always going to be an indication. When he goes out there and he shows that he can throw his breaking ball for strikes and he's got command of the changeup, then teams have to honor it. And when you go out there and you spin a few that are short and your changeup's a little off and then they're sitting dead red, and it's going to be tough to get them to honor that off-speed stuff. So, you know, for him, I think we're going to simplify things a little bit for him in terms of what we want to do game plan-wise, but also just remind him about how important it is to show that you can throw everything for strikes early and then be able to be on the tack basically the rest of the game.
You know, one of the things that's so surreal about this season has been the number of pitchers we've seen used, right? And the number of guys that are coming through for every team. And you get to 25 different pitchers already, and you start looking at around the league at the number of injuries. And even if it's not a serious injury, there are so many guys that are dealing with so many things. Is that the lack of ramp up? Is that just the nature of a season like this? How do you explain it? And did you anticipate it?
I think we anticipated. I think we anticipated to see some spikes in injuries. Like I said earlier, we've done quite a bit of research just on kind of, you know, when injuries happen, why they happen, what leads up, what causes it. And like I said, that even if you look at normal seasons, usually around that 5 or 6 week period is when you see spikes in injuries. And whether it's short season or long season, we're still trying to figure out what causes that. Is that how we're ramping guys up in spring training? Is that how the just product of, you know, the throwing that you do over the course of, you know, January, February, March? So So we knew there was going to be some issues there, especially with the short ramp up and running right into the season and expecting guys to kind of be mid-season form. Honestly, there's a lot, though, that we still don't quite know, and I think we won't really know until maybe after this year and we have time to reflect and maybe even the next few years. There's so many new resources out there for throwing, so many new routines that guys have that they like to do, to get loose and to build arm strength. And we don't, we know that those work for some people. We also know that they don't work for some people too. So I think we're still just trying to get a feel for what the season really has brought, in terms of workload for these guys, but also, some of these new, training methods and just how important it is to make sure we do what we need to do to be healthy and ready to pitch every day.
Tommy, thanks a ton. Great catching up with you. Really appreciate it.
Great stuff, Tommy. Thank you.
All right, guys. Thanks. Have a great day.
That is Tommy Hottovy, the Cubs pitching coach. Boy, a lot that they're dealing with every major league team. It's just crazy the numbers of how many pitchers they're going through.
It really is. And we asked him about every pitcher practically except for the guy on the mound tonight who's expected to throw just another seven innings of kind of shutout baseball, maybe three hits. Yu Darvish has been outstanding. You kind of take for granted the fact that he's been as good as he has been.
What can you ask and what can you say? He's been phenomenal, right? And it's win day, right? 312-644-6767. That's the telephone number. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the score.
Mully and Haw flashback.
Gio Gonzalez comes off the injured list, but he's not stretched out. I don't know that he goes more than a couple innings. Are they going to have to contemplate some bullpen games here moving forward?
I think they should call Lopez off. Hopefully Lopez come out and be what we think he can be. In that spot, I will call Lopez again. Lopez is the best one they have right now down in Chamber, and give him the opportunity to see if he got better or if they can count with him. I'd rather give Lopez the ball than Gio Gonzalez.
We talked to Ozzy about it, and he said, and I asked him if Gio could get that start and how you use him. Is it a bullpen game? And he said he'd bring up Ronaldo Lopez. I got to be honest with you, that not only surprised me, it kind of sent a shiver through my spine.
Well, sometimes desperate times dictate desperate measures. I'm not sure if this measure would be that desperate. He really hasn't shown at this point that he's going to get a whole lot of people out. So I would prefer, if I had the choice, I would prefer Gio Gonzalez.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the score. That's a little bit of a ways off getting to that fifth starter spot. But, David, I got to tell you, I don't know that I want to see Ronaldo again. I hate to say that. And if you have to, you have to. If anything happens to Keuchel and if you're pushing things back, I get it. I'm following the team. But, boy, Ronaldo's been terrible this year.
Well, he, in four starts, has pitched 9 2/3 innings and has an ERA of 8.38. I don't know why you would want to see him again. And that's not meant to be mean, but this is a team that is headed places. And this is a team that has a fifth starter issue. Gio Gonzalez is a professional. You know what you're getting and you know what you're not getting, but you can't afford to put somebody out there that's overmatched and lacks the command that Ronaldo Lopez has lacked. So I think that in this White Sox season where there has been so much to celebrate, one thing that has been difficult to kind of get your to grasp is why Ronaldo Lopez has been this bad, this in a small sample size, yes. But I don't think he has done anything in four starts to merit bringing him back from Schaumburg. So I didn't get that from Ozzy. That was one thing with Ozzy I kind of disagreed with.
I wonder if they have a fourth starter problem, okay? Dane Dunning going tonight. It'll be hopefully a good start for him. And, we're kind of crossing our fingers. I think he's looked fine from what we've seen from him. But that's an unexpected guy to be considered the fourth guy in your rotation, right? I think when you go back and look at where they're at in the year they've had, Michael Kopech opting out was kind of the first blow that you went through. You know, obviously Carlos Rodon, you thought he might be able to come back at some point, and he's still battling injury, and this is a new one. This is a back problem now that has set him back a little bit. Please, God, let nothing be wrong with Dallas Keuchel. My God, they need him. They got Giolito and Dallas Keuchel. Dylan Cease is probably the next guy up, and you kind of wonder about it. You know, Gio Gonzalez is like that wily veteran guy that could come out and just kind of figure out a way to get through a certain number of innings and just through guile and old lessons maybe get through it. I get it. We thought Ronaldo, they've invested time in him. They've invested starts in him, but he hasn't been good in a long time. And I don't know how you fix a guy. I was wondering that myself. I wanted to ask you what you thought about, you know, okay, so Jose Martinez goes to South Bend. How do you get a guy out of a slump when he can basically take batting practice and there's no live game action? There's no, and it's the same question that you ask about a guy like Ronaldo. What is it that you're going to fix with him in Schaumburg?
I'm going to go full coupon on you here for a second. Whoa, 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 whoa. Okay, I get the concern over the fifth starter question and maybe the fourth starter question. Your team is 26-16. You are one of the surprise teams in Major League Baseball. You've got two legit MVP candidates. You've got the Rookie of the Year in your outfield. You've got young talent galore. And I don't know that concerns over the fifth starter spot are enough to kind of kill my White Sox buzz or anybody's, because legit, valid, yeah, but it's an easy kind of solution to a problem. Ronaldo Lopez stays in Schaumburg. As for the fourth starter, I think that you got to see what you have in Dane Dunning. He's been more good than bad. I mean, last time out, I think he reminded us that he was a young pitcher on the way up, but he was still a young pitcher, much the way that Adbert Alzolay did with the Cubs on Saturday. So there's a lot of good, and the concern that you have is maybe Keuchel's back, sure, but there's more to celebrate than there is to commiserate or worry about.
I mean, listen, these are rich man problems talking about this stuff. I get it, I understand, but I think they are potentially problems nonetheless. You know, their lineup will keep you in games. I think we've seen that already, and I'm not saying that it won't. And I think that both Lucas Giolito and Dallas Keuchel, you know, if it wasn't for Shane Bieber, maybe we'd be talking about an award for one of our pitchers. That's how good they have been. But that's, I guess, if you're going into a, you know, three-game series, that's fine. I don't know, though, David. I think when you start, you know, balancing it out and looking at it and projecting it, it's a little bit worrisome. And it is the kind of thing that, again, I think that it's not a problem until it's a problem. But as we look at the landscape of where this team is at, you know, they're going to have to, please God, let nothing be wrong with Dallas Keuchel. That would be a real blow. And I hope that his back's okay. And as I said to you, I wasn't going to complain about 114 pitches unless something went wrong. And now he's got a little sore back, and I'm mad about the 114 pitches. That's just how
I roll. Yeah, I could see that. I mean, I could see you looking at it that way. I think that big picture with the White Sox, I do wonder, you know, I think Stoney alluded to it, and we've talked about it, but I wonder about the defense becoming shaky again. And I wonder if, you know, we've seen two examples in the last week, and they have been examples of losses, and the Sox don't lose a lot. So I think when they do lose, then you start to kind of focus on some of these negatives, and there's so few of them to focus on. Last night, you know, the ground out could have made that play at the plate in the ninth. That would have been something that, you know, you look at and you point to. Last week, the meltdown in Minnesota when he had the errors in that terrible inning. I do think, though, again, the good has outweighed the bad defensively. I've been surprised at how good defensively they have been, and not just the spectacular plays like Luis Robert, but the consistent ones like Tim Anderson is making more than he has in the past. So defensively, I guess I would be more concerned about their defense. And their fifth starter, it's going to be kind of a crapshoot. But you only have – I mean, the season's almost over, Molly. I mean, it's unbelievable that
– Oh, I know. Yeah.
18 games left in the regular season.
And David, you know, look, I mean, I, I'm you know, we're picking apart something because of a bad loss and worrying about things because that's what you do. I think the defense has been extraordinary. I haven't looked in a while, but the last time I looked, I believe Tim Anderson led Major League Baseball with 26 errors by a shortstop last year, 13 in the field and 13 throwing the ball. This year, it was at, last time I checked earlier in the week, it was at 5, 4 in the field and 1 throwing the ball. So, you know, it's he's improved dramatically. I got to tell you, if you look at the numbers, it's kind of amazing. Jose Abreu's had a great year defensively as well as everything else. Now, we know that you're talking about a gold glove for Louis Robert. I mean, here's a guy that, you know, there's a guy in Minnesota's pretty damn good in center field. But if you look at all the defensive runs saved, that's, what is it, 9 or 10 runs that Louis Robert has saved? That's extraordinary for one player coming in. And we joke about the way he covers the field, and he's running in front of Aloy, and it's hysterical every time he does it. And Aloy gives him the look and all that stuff, but the guy's everywhere and he can cover everything.
Well, the list of center fielders that could have made the catch that he made last week in terms of getting the jump,
yeah,
taking the right angle, making the dive, and finishing it off with the catch, it's probably 3 or 4 center fielders in all of baseball. So you look at that defensive strength of the Sox, and then now you have two guys, and Stoney alluded to this as well. You have Dyson and Engel, who are good defensive replacements, so you shored up that end of it for late in games. You also have added Yomer to the mix. How many teams are able to add a gold glover at this stage of the season? So you have some opportunities here to use these guys in ways that make sense. It's up to Ricky Renteria, if you have a lead, to protect it with guys who defensively are very sound and have proven gloves.
Let's get to the phone lines, 312-644-6767. Jeff is in Skokie. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Jeff.
Hey guys. You hear me good?
Yeah.
All right. The White Sox. David, you said, you know, you were talking, you know, the White Sox, you made a comment earlier about, you know, they can afford to lose this game. You know, they're 26-15. We can't be picking, you know, nitpicking. And I so disagree with that. I'm 25. I have yet, you know, I got my World Series in 05. This team has been so bad for so long. My expectations now that they're good are going to be through the roof. Yesterday was shameful. That should never happen. That's the worst team in the league. They have the worst offense in the league, and you lose to that team. And I need to figure out what Jimmy Cordero, what stuff he has on Rick Renteria. I don't know if he's got pictures of his wife. I don't know what it is, but I don't know why that guy continues to get put in the game when he constantly is letting guys get on base. He gives up. He's got 13 runs given up in like 17 innings pitched. It's in a high leverage. If you want to throw him in there to eat up innings when we're getting blown out 14-1 to the Twins, go right at it. Him and C-Sheck, let them get bombed all day when we're already going to lose. Don't let them come in there in a 4-2 game like that when you can win against the Pirates. Get him off the damn team. He shouldn't even be there. He should be gone.
How about this? 21 appearances for Cordero. James McCann has played in 19 games. James McCann has been phenomenal and been a big part of it. And Cordero's played more than him.
Yeah, that's overuse. And I didn't understand that last night when he could have gone to Column A. And you know, Jimmy Cordero, as Stoney pointed out, was better last year. And I think you have managers sometimes have that expectation. But didn't get it done in the ninth yesterday, and the Sox lost a game to the Pirates that ruined their season and certainly exposed them as pretenders, right? Is that what the caller's saying?
They're 10 games over, not 10 games under, right? It's hard to tell Jeff.
Kevin, I know. That's what I'm saying. That's ridiculous. I'm not going to overreact to one loss.
I like an angry Sox fan.
Well,
I know a lot of
redundant,
them.
Redundant, isn't it?
That's redundant, yes.
All right, we'll bring in another one. Dan Bernstein, I believe. I don't know how angry he is,
but definitely likes the White Sox. So we'll ask him what his thoughts are on it. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the Score.
Whoa.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.